Blog Talk Radio.
What's your story? What do you believe? What are you willing for others to see? Are you hiding behind some false idea? The time has come to change your thinking and find your mission as you persevere and build a team with a cause that's clear. Challenge yourself and
good afternoon and welcome to the What is Success Show with your hosts, V.S. Grenier and Marsha Casper Cook. Our show here on the BTR World of Inc. Network is on every other Friday at 11 a.m. Mountain Time, noon Central, and 1 p.m. Eastern. Today we are going to be kind of talking about the review process that happens with books, and of course we're always open to discussions about 15 minutes after Marsha and I just kind of have our opening here for you to post questions in our chat room or to call in. If you'd like to call in and ask a question, the phone number is 714-242-5259. Again, that's 714-242-5259. Good morning, Marsha.
Hi. Well, what can I tell you? Hi. All right, we will talk. We're open for discussion. There we are.
Yes. So, anyways, we were talking before the show started kind of about book reviews and some of the misconception out there that a lot of authors believe they need to have 500-plus book reviews of their book to
make them successful. Right, yeah.
Well, to make them successful, but I think for people to think that it's worth buying, and honestly, that's not 100% true, really. I mean, I've seen authors who are New York bestselling authors that have like three or four book reviews listed on Amazon, but they're New York, you know, the book's the New York Best Times selling books. So,
well, because really, when you're talking about best selling books, it's not about the review. It's about how many copies you sell and how many people have bought it. It's not about, I think maybe people are forgetting that it's about selling the book and not about what everybody's opinion is about the book. You know, I mean, sometimes people have bad reviews and people are, you know, they're best-selling authors. That's just how it is.
Yeah, and to me, any review is a good review, good or bad.
Yeah.
But, I mean, does it hurt to have 500-plus reviews? No, it doesn't hurt, I mean. But
they're not going to look through it, though. Who's going to look through that? I mean,
well,
you know.
Well, that's what I was going to say. I mean, for me, when I go, and I'm not talking about books. I'm talking in general. If I'm on Amazon shopping for something, you know, a book,
right,
an appliance, roller skates for my kids, what I typically do is I look at how many reviews the item's gotten. And then based off how many reviews they have, how many stars they have, you know, is it 5 stars, 3 stars? And I look to see where the majority of the reviews hit. So if I see most reviews hit in the 3-star category, I go look at those. I skim through a couple of those reviews just to kind of see what they have to say. Because I'm like, okay, if the majority of people think it's 3 stars, why is that? Then I usually look to see why somebody, you know, how many people gave it 1 star, and then go and read all the really negative comments to kind of from there make my decision. But I don't look at every single review.
Yeah, I think, I also think you're right about that, because remember what we talked about? We should probably talk about that we both are authors in case people don't know us.
Yeah.
We forget, because sometimes, you know, they may think that we're, you know, not authors, and we know all about rejection. I mean, I am a screenwriter, and I have 7 books, and I have many screenplays, and I have a lot of rejections in my drawer, safe. I mean, I have hundreds of them, and I keep them, and a lot of writers do. So, I mean, I understand what rejection is. I, myself, if I got a bad review, I haven't really gotten any bad reviews, but I have gotten rejection letters. So I think that people have to realize they need to keep writing and stop worrying about a lot of these things, because it does all of these things, which I've mentioned before and you've mentioned, it's blocking. And so you are a writer too, so do you want to, you have a children's book and you have a children's magazine.
Yeah, but, you know, I'm not saying, you know, that the author shouldn't worry about reviews. you do need reviews, because obviously if someone looks like, well, no one's read the book, and that's, here's the other thing too. Just because somebody has 11 reviews doesn't mean that 200 people haven't read the book. It just means only 11 people decide to take the time.
Right, exactly. Right.
So that's one reason why I don't invest too much in how many reviews are listed. I don't care if something got 500 reviews versus something that got only 11 reviews.
Right.
I look to see at the quality of the reviews. Like I said, did all the reviews show up in the 5-star? Did all the reviews show up in the 1-star? That's what I look at. I don't care how many are there. I just look to see if that's where all the reviews went. The other thing, too, is with reviews, yeah, it's great that you have all your family and friends and neighbors and coworkers review your book. That's great. But when it's someone who's going to use a review, like really use a review to judge your book, they're going to look for places like Midwest Book Review, other authors within that genre that are top selling authors that may have reviewed your book, top reviewers. So, it's going to be somebody like, if you're in the children's market from homeschool, magazine, Midwest Book Review. I mean, obviously they're going to look to see if like someone like the New York Times or Chicago or someone like that, of course, reviewed your book. If a librarian has reviewed your book, if they state they're a teacher and have reviewed the book, again, if you're in the children's market, those are the types of reviews that stand out. Nobody cares if Susie Smith reviewed your book and she's a stay-at-home mom with 3 kids, unless she is a high, profile review blogger. Then they'll care, but then they should say what blog they're from.
But I think I've read in some books what they're doing now is, I think when people give you comments, you can have a page of like comments that people have said about your book rather than just reviews.
Yes.
So maybe
I have that with my picture book, Rick Walton, who's known as the granddaddy of picture books. He's an award-winning author. He's with Penguin Publishing. He's been published with some other big publishers as well. I have a comment from him, and I also have a comment from James Dashner, who is a New York best-selling author for the 13th Reality series and Maze Runner series. So, I have those right on there. But I also have on there a comment from Mommy PR, because my book is a picture book, and Mommy PR read it, and they highly recommended it. And so I have, those are the three that I use, because they're high-profile names.
Right.
I don't use...
even on Smashwords now, you can't put your – that's one of the problems, though. If you're on Smashwords, you can't just go in and put the reviews that people have given you before. So if you're on Smashwords, a lot of people have no reviews because these are reviews that were put on Amazon or wherever, and they don't let you put them on.
Well, and here's the other thing, too.
It doesn't carry through. So you could look like you have no reviews one place, and maybe you have 20 reviews somewhere else.
Well, and that's what I was going to talk about. I mean, Goodreads and, I can't think of the other
site. Shelfari?
No, it's not Safari. No, it's a different one. It's kind of like Goodreads, where your Amazon review automatically, if you write a review for somebody, automatically populates into your into your profile.
I just think now there's so many different changes that I think that's one of the things.
Well, and that's what I'm going to say. I do a lot of writing for blog critics, and I do a lot of writing, of articles and reviews for American Chronicle as well, and I review on Amazon. I cannot use what I put on Blog Critics on Amazon or American Chronicle, and vice versa. So it takes a lot of time, because I have to go to 3 different locations and post a review, and then only certain places can I take a review from one of those 3 and let it populate like into Goodreads or LinkedIn or somewhere else.
And then also on the Kindle, but the Kindle too. I mean, there's so many things now that you're. Like, it may look like the person has no reviews, but they do have reviews.
Well, and that's what I'm saying. I mean, and for
every
reviewer,
ebook place now.
And of course, the taboo is you don't pay a reviewer for a review. So reviewers, to sit there and take the time and go to Powell Books, Barnes & Noble, Amazon, LinkedIn, Goodreads, like you said, Safari, over to, over to the Kindle, specific, area, Facebook. Then to Twitter, if you think about how much time, and then for them to post it on their blog, if they have a blog, I mean, that for one review, it's going to take you at least an hour to write it and post it everywhere. And that's an hour of time that a blogger is not getting paid for their time. Right. And if they have 10 reviews, that's 10 hours. That's a full. That's more than a full day's of work, of no pay, to do that. So I really think that to some degree, and I mean, I'm not trying to change the subject here, but, you know, for someone to review a book for free is one thing, but if you want them to post it everywhere for you, then you should pay for a posting package because, holy cow,
That's a whole other thing. See, all of these things that we talk about and all of every day, you know, it's true. We talk a lot privately and we talk on the radio. You have your show. I have my other show. And, you know, the thing is that every day there's new issues coming up, and that's what we're trying to bring to people and trying to get into discussions. So everybody, you know, I've always been an advocate of not getting depressed about all of these things and just keep writing. And so a lot of this is from my training all these years to just say, oh, well, okay, somebody said something, move on, you know. And I think that a lot of writers are concentrating on things that are causing them not to write as much and to start really, and once you start listening, I mean, I would always say this. I think I was actually a better writer some ways before I was like an agent, because now I know what people are looking for. And in my head, if I'm writing a script, sometimes I'm thinking, well, will this sell? You know, is someone going to have, you know, because a production is a lot of money. So are they going to put money into something like this? So that's a danger. And so I myself am trying to get back into the swing of mentally saying, just write. Don't think about everything.
And it's very true. And I mean, and when I was just talking about like the time that it takes to post one review, I'm speaking from experience. You know, Stories for Children magazine, for many years we did book reviews. Now, I would help my book reviewers pick up the slack because we'd get books constantly sent to us. So I'd review some of the books. But my reviewers would review the book. They would write the review. They would send the review to me, and I would post it on all of the Stories for Children links, which meant in the magazine, on our blog, at Amazon, at Barnes & Noble. I mean, literally, I posted it everywhere, and it took me an hour of my time for each review. Now, we still have some back reviews that have been posted at the magazine and on the Stories for Children blog, Families Matter, that we have not gone up on Amazon because it just takes so much of my time to get up on Amazon and Goodreads and everywhere else that I work on them in between the other things that pay the magazine, because those are unpaid. That was an unpaid service we did, which we stopped because it was eating up way too much of our time.
Yeah. Well, see, right. I think that, you know, there is a limit on what everybody, you know, and there's all, I mean, there is a limit of time, you know, but there's the basic thing that people are not supposed to be charging for these things. And I do think that some of the rules that are on, that, you know, that are, people are following now, maybe need to be changed a little. Because
I'm fine with the don't pay a book reviewer to do a review, but then they can hand you the review and you can do whatever you want with it for free. But if you want them to post it everywhere, their review, so it's posted under their name, then I think that they should be able to charge. If you want me to post it to these three locations, it's this amount of money. If you want me to post it to these locations, because it's that much time that they're taking it.
See, but years ago, and you might not have been in the business then, but years ago, when you used to send for a review before, you know, with the internet and everything, what happened is you would send the book with a letter, and then they always said, we're not going to really tell you if you're going to give a review. You'll have to just check. You know, they didn't send letters back. So you had no idea if you were going to be in a review or not. And sometimes, like somebody would say in a neighborhood paper, somebody, a library, said, oh, they wrote this about you. I go, really? I didn't know, you know, because you didn't know then, you know, and there were lots of reviews out there that nobody knew about.
This is exactly right, and I do remember the industry being that way. I'd come into the industry right when it was changing from that.
Yeah.
And that's totally correct. And the other thing, too, is, and here's the thing, you know, when an author's pushing to get the 500 reviews of their book, they want them up right away, like when the book like had just released.
Yep.
Well, to get 500 people to concentrate on your book when you're not the only person that month having a book release, and they probably have, and I kid you not, just yesterday I had 5 books get shipped to me from a publisher. 5. If they wanted me to get all those up, along with the huge box that has about 25 books still in it.
Oh, because sometimes I'm talking like to Fran, and she's got 10 books.
I could even imagine getting 30 books and their reviews all up within this month, you know, before this month ends, you know, beginning of February, in all these locations. I mean, I would be doing nothing else but that.
Yeah.
It's just, it's not a reality.
Right, right, right. See, that's the whole thing. You know, and I think that, you know, I think that some of the things that are happening, I mean, people really, I mean, that's one of the reasons that we're talking about these things. I mean, on a daily basis, sometimes someone will say, oh, go to this site, go to that site, and then I go, oh, I'll put myself in there. Because I think we talked about it on my other show. You get and you sign up for something and you go like, oh, you've already been in there. It's like you don't even know anymore how many things that you're doing because there's no way to know this. You know, because sometimes they change the name or, you know, things like that where you'll sign up for something and then like maybe 2 months go by and then you'll see it again and, you know, it's another site. So, I mean, right now there's literally, I'm sure, hundreds and hundreds of places where we don't even know where things are. We don't know, you know, in the UK, in all, like UK, there's a lot of reviews and a lot of books out there also that you don't even know. And there's all different countries. It's international now. So,
I completely agree with you because luckily I have quite a few friends over in Australia that are authors who are also teachers. So they pay really close attention to a lot of the different, you know, book reviews going on because of that, you know, because they want to make sure they pick good books for their classrooms. And my picture book, which I had no idea, has like a bunch, unlike here in the U.S., has more reviews over there than it does here in the U.S. I was like, really? and I can't visually see that.
Because UK is different. It is different. It's much different.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. And, you know, I don't know what I did with it. There is somebody on Facebook that sent something that they are doing translating internationally on books. I really want to check that out, though. But actually on the 7th, I'm having Brian Moreland on. And he was talking about that on a show that I heard him talking about with Meg and Nancy on their show from Red River. And he talks about internationally getting well known. And that's something that I'm interested in, too, because that market is huge. I mean, especially in children's books, that's a huge market because they translate all of these books into whatever language it is. So he's going to be talking about that, I'm pretty sure. And I'd like to look into that more myself. So I will find the email or the Facebook that said that because I think people would like to know that because sometimes you can be more successful there than here.
Yes, very true. We actually have a couple of callers, Marcia.
Yeah, I think we do. So do you want me to get
Well, we have one that the name that's typed in is Elf. So
okay.
I'll open that one up.
Okay.
Hi, you're live on What Is Success. Did you have a question for us?
Yeah, they call me John Conquest. I got a 50.5 right here between my legs. It's a little lonely. So come on over here and sit on it, huh?
Okay, we'll just hang up on that.
Yeah,
call.
I was
going to
say, well, this
weird.
Is like Howard Stern now. I think this is the first time.
Yeah.
All right.
Okay.
I don't even know the voice. I'm thinking, okay.
Yeah, I'm like, I don't recognize who that was either, so definitely
well,
not any of my friends call it a prank. All righty. Well, we'll just pass on to our next caller.
Okay.
Okay, 573, did you have a question for us?
Hello.
Hello.
Oh, they might not have. They might not want to go on.
Are you just listening, or did you have a question?
Yeah, like
for
I
us?
Do. I do that a lot, so that's okay.
Hey, Marcia.
Yes.
Oh.
Hi.
Oh, hold on. The mic went off.
Okay.
I'm sorry. You're back on 573.
Hi.
Hello.
Hey.
Hi. Who is it?
This is Ashley Fontaine. Can you hear me?
Oh, hi. How are you?
Yes, we can hear you.
I'm fine. How are you? I've been enjoying listening.
Oh, good. Did you hear our last call? This is probably somebody.
Yes, I heard the last call, and I was like, okay. Somebody has nothing better to do today.
I know that.
Obviously.
Ashley, I don't know if you ever, did you ever meet Virginia? I don't think so. Ashley? I talk about you a lot. Ashley, do you want to just tell her a little bit about your story that you went on with Facebook when you did your, you put your e-book on?
Well, I can a little bit. I wrote a series and put it up on Amazon as an e-book in April of 2011. And then I decided to participate in the Kindle Direct Select program in December, and it blew up. And so it ended up allowing me to be signed with World Capital, and they just published and released the second in the series, Zero Balance, today. The book is available. The ebook will be available on February 1st. So,
and you had a ton of view. How many people, like, the first day when you put it on?
I had over 29,000 downloads in 48 hours.
Virginia, can you believe it? No.
I've heard of these things happening. I mean,
I know. That's why Ashley was on the show, right? Because when I heard it, I went like, okay, let's have her on, because it was so interesting. You know, it really is. Yeah. I mean, you know, she's the dream that everybody, you know, because everybody thinks it can happen to somebody else. No, it really can't happen to a regular person, right? Ashley, you're regular, right?
Yeah, because as of right now, I'm over 45,000 downloads since it was released. Yeah, and it just blew up and took off, and I've had a lot more downloads in the last few days because I think people were anticipating the release of Zero Balance, so they wanted to read the first one first. So I'm pretty excited.
I think it's, let me ask you a question, though. Tell me where you post everything. So people might want to know where you posted things that they found you like this. Besides the Kindle, did you post anywhere else?
Well, I started a Facebook account, and I started a Twitter account and started following people and tweeted about it. And I started a blog, and I started following some other blogs, and I got people that were interested in reviewing it, and they started to, and it just kind of took off. And then I really wish I could explain what happened in December. I think I just got really lucky because that's right when the Kindle Direct program started up. And I offered my book for free right before Christmas, from the 23rd until the 26th, which is right when people were getting Kindles for Christmas, and it just took off.
Because you think it's the genre, too? Do you think it's the genre that you're in?
I think it is, because the story, although it is not written for anybody except adults because of the content, the story is very emotional, and it hits home with a lot of people because revenge and that whole mindset is very much a part of the human psyche. Right. And to watch somebody as frail as the lead character is be able to exact revenge on such evil individuals in a way that does not involve slaughtering them really, I think, hit home with people. So I do think it has a lot to do with the genre, yes.
Ashley, I have a question. Yeah. I have a question really quick for you, Ashley. With the success of, you know, of how many downloads you have of your book and everything, did you really push out there like a lot of authors do to try and get, you know, 100, 200, 300 book reviews? Or did you just kind of let those people who chose to review your book and just kind of let what happened happen?
Yeah, I let what happened happen. I had, before I had the big success in December, most of the reviews came from either people that I knew already or word of mouth of people that they knew. And then when it took off and reviews started hitting on Amazon from people that were complete strangers that had read it, every time there was a 5- and 4-star review, I would turn around and put it on Twitter and put it on Facebook and the several different groups of member, you know, the, like, celebrating authors and Kindle Mojo. There's all kinds of different writing groups that are on Facebook, and posted it there. And it just kind of, it snowballed and took on a life of its own.
So what you're saying, the way the market is right now, that's what, so you did use them. And so, I mean, I might try certain things too, because maybe I'm wrong about a lot. I mean, I could be wrong about a lot of things, because, you know, I'm just, it's not that I'm old school, it's just the fact that I just, you know, sometimes you feel like you're out too much, but maybe I'm not out enough. Virginia, when I talk about these things a lot, so that was a good question to ask, you know, about how you, you know, what you did with all these reviews. So, but
yeah,
you had
exactly
some you had some negative reviews. So if you put negative.
Yes, I did have some.
Ashley, did you send those negative reviews to the positive? Because, I mean, a lot of people go cry in the closet that they have a negative review. Or I see that as, like, you post it out there and say, hey, this person said this about my book. What do you think? You know, that's how my attitude is about it.
I will tell you at first, when the first one hit, I did want to go cry in the closet because it was more of a personal affront against me. And I think I know who wrote it. And so I did take that one hard. But I will also say at the beginning, when I originally wrote this book, and I wrote it as a project for a class in college, and I did not have it edited when I put it up on Amazon. I wrote it myself. I went through it myself. I formatted it myself for the ebook for Kindle, and I made some mistakes because I didn't know what I was doing. And when I was approached by World Castle, they originally were going to re-release it, and I had signed a contract with them, and then I had this huge success in December, and we opted not to do that because it would take my momentum down. But I did have them edit it. I did have it go through editing, and I republished it through CreateSpace and also on Amazon Kindle. And after that happened, I have not had any negative reviews because it took care of the issues that I had before. So I did learn from them because some of them did say, you know, things that I tend to ramble. I'm a Southern woman, so I like to have big sentences. So I did make some changes there, and then I also made some changes to the formatting because it was not completely 100% correct. So once those issues were taken care of, I haven't had any negative reviews since then.
That's
so
good. See, but that's really good. See, but okay, so this is an exact – so because I'm always talking to Virginia because she has her children's show, but I'm always saying – I'm telling her about everybody. I go, like, this one did this and this. Because so that's a really good positive thing. So then, because I know, because I found you because Karen had told me and she wanted to put my book on there from, you know, Love Changes on. And I said, sure, go ahead and try it. And she said, you know, because your book was doing really well, but it meant she was going to take your other books. But see, formatting does matter. And I think people think that it's so easy to format. It's not that easy to format it.
No, it really wasn't. I had it almost right, but I had some issues with it where it didn't read correctly. Because, see, I don't have a Kindle. I have the Kindle app on my phone, but I don't have an actual Kindle. And it ran fine on the app, but apparently with an actual Kindle, it did have some glitches in it.
Okay, that's an interesting. Oh, so you didn't have a Kindle when you formatted it, but you can.
No.
See, because when you're on the computer, right, see, that's the thing. They let you take Kindle now, and you can put it, you know, you get the books and you can list, you know, you can list them on your computer, so the books are there too, also on an iPad or whatever, but it doesn't come in the same format. So I think sometimes people, it depends where they read it, and it might look to them that it's not done right. So that's a good thing to say because sometimes it doesn't look necessarily right, but it's still the same story.
It might not. So I wish if I could offer any advice to anybody that's planning on doing this on their own, make sure that you do it exactly right and take the time to do it because had I done that in the beginning, when I thought I had it right, I probably wouldn't have had some of the negative reviews that I had.
But you never would have
thought. Not me.
See, that's why you didn't think about all those things.
Yeah.
I mean, and so, but you were successful, so this is so good, and now you have a following. I mean, this is a great story. That's why I love hearing it.
Yeah, very, very great story. Thanks for calling in, Ashley. We're glad you shared that with us.
Okay, Ashley, I thank you for following the shows. I appreciate it.
Oh, you're more than welcome. I'll talk to you all later. Have a great day.
Okay. Take care. You too. Bye. Good weekend. Okay, bye-bye.
I love the fact too that she talked about the formatting as well because
I can
talk about this as well because you know I'm Stories for Children magazine, you know, I format it and I'm constantly working on new ways of formatting it, learning new techniques because technology is always changing and you know, and it's very true. I mean, people who download our magazine based on if they do it from their phone or on their computer and even the size of your computer screen changes it because if you have a smaller monitor or lap, like a lot of mini laptops, their screens are smaller. So it makes you have to scroll to the left and right, and it really changes the format. So people think, well, it doesn't fit on my whole entire screen. Well, you have to realize that there's one specific format that the publisher, you know, is required to fulfill based on where it's originating from for the download, and then it has to populate into all these other different formats, and it only can do so much because every device is so different.
I know that. That's the thing. Right, because that's why the story sometimes, you know, and sometimes people are saying they have typos, they have things, and it really is just because it just in every place that you download it, it is different.
Well, and here's
so
the other
don't
thing
be too hard on everybody.
Yes.
Yeah, people.
Yes.
Yeah,
and I love the fact you honestly, I love that you mentioned typos because I can't tell you how many New York best-selling books I have read that have at least one or two typos in them. Nobody's perfect. Even the big publishers are not perfect. When you're looking at something that's over 400 pages long and you've looked at it 10 times, trust me, even as an editor, my eyes start to cross. I have to take days off between manuscripts so I can come back at it with fresh eyes.
You know, and Ashley, I mean, her story's great. Like, and she actually had, I'll send you the link, actually, because I put it on my site a while ago when she was on the show. Mm-hmm. But she was at a library, and she did, and they videotaped her. I mean, she's now becoming so popular, and so this is where I come in, where I say that keep going because nobody ever knows. That's why she's saying she should have done this, she should have done that. But how would she have known? You could never know you'd have such success. I mean, she's got 45,000 downloads now. I mean, my God.
Exactly. And she didn't go and try and get, you know, like I said, the 200 to 500 plus reviews. She had no idea. She just kind of let the chips fall where they may, and now she has a lot of book reviews. And it's not because she went out and said, please review my book and post it on Amazon.
Right.
It naturally happened. And honestly, I am a little bit more reluctant when someone emails me, and I don't care if my friends that are listening are probably going, oh, well, I guess I want to ask Virginia.
Oh, you're in a dangerous territory.
I am in a dangerous thing. But, you know, I know a lot of authors, and right now I'm the president of my writing guild out here in Southern Utah. So, you know, I get a lot more phone calls and requests because, like, well, now that you're president, and I'm just going to think, and I tell them, you know, I'm really busy, and if I can get to it, I will send me your book. But, you know, if I get follow up emails like, well, I haven't seen a review from you yet. Can you really get it up? It actually makes me want to drag my feet. I'm not saying do it, but I sit there. I mean, my gut reaction is, well, now I don't want to get your review done right away because now you're pestering me about it.
See, I don't do reviews.
It actually makes me more reluctant.
Right. I'm just not a reviewer, and I've made a decision because I do get so many emails a day. I can't even tell you, but I'm not a reviewer, and I'm just really not. I help people, and I'll talk to them, but I really am not a reviewer, and I just think that's maybe why I feel it's such a danger that everybody's just doing it now.
Yeah, I mean, I am a reviewer because that's kind of where I started when I was writing. To enhance my skills as a writer was I would do book reviews, and I only did, you know, book reviews on books that looked really interesting to me, and of course, you know, as I've gotten out there, I do them for friends, but I don't give them a good review because of my friend. And trust me, friends or not, if you pester me, I'm telling you, I mean, book reviews I put off because I don't get paid to do them, and I'm trying to take care of the work I am paid to do first. But when I start getting pestered, it makes me feel like, well, maybe I just don't want to do it at all because it's like now you're pestering me. And it's like, you know, just let people know that, yes, you're anxious to get the review from them, and that you're grateful they're going to do it. And is there anything that they can do maybe to help lighten your workload? Because that sounds more positive than like, why haven't you gotten it up yet? I'm really anxious to see what you think. I mean, holy cow, you know.
And also, as we've said, it's an opinion, okay? And then, you know, there's book reviewers and book critics. And, you know, they're different. And I just was finding out about that. I mean, so I think that, you know, there's a lot of changes being made. And I think, you know, what Ashley was saying, though, about posting it now in different places with a couple, but, you know, that's not a bad idea. Take some of the good ones and put them wherever you need to, but I know a lot of times you can't get in these sites to put them in. That's the problem.
Yeah, I have done that a few times with my book, Baby Sydney Sugar Paw, where someone's given us a pretty decent review. Oh, you know, myself and my illustrator, Kevin. And so I've gone ahead and have, you know, done a tweet, or I'll say, you know, here's the link on Amazon to go read the review kind of thing, and posted in a few places. So I have done that. I don't do it all the time, because I don't want people to think that I'm just out there constantly shoving my book down their throat. Because that's the thing you have to be careful of, because people are like, oh, no, you're trying to get me to buy your book. And that makes people, again, just like I was talking about reviews, it does the opposite with buyers. It makes them dig their feet in as well and go, well, you know, now I feel like you're trying to push your book down my throat. However, you do have to see something multiple times, typically, as a buyer before you consider buying it. But it can't be done in a way where it's like, you know, buy my book. It needs to be done in a way where you're sharing information.
Right. And a lot of times what I'm doing now is taking them when they're free from, you know, a lot of people, and then I'm reading them, you know, when I can, you know, and because I cannot read every, you know, I'm trying to write too. But, you know, I mean, that's what I'm doing. And, you know, there's some very, very good writers out there that are self-published, that are published. I mean, you know, it's a huge market now. I mean,
it is a huge market.
and everything is changing, and I just think that people, certainly writers, have to be, you know, a little easier on themselves and just start writing and not keep doing all of this, because I think promoting is great, but, you know, that's one of the problems that people have, is over promotion, I think. You know, I think then, and they're getting very unhappy.
I don't want to say over promotion. It's over promotion because they're overly doing one thing, which is buy my book, or review my book, and it's the same message constantly. That's when you're basically on the verge of becoming spammer and people start shutting you down. It's different if you say, oh, look at this great review I got. Oh, I did this guest post over here about the backstory of my book. See, it's different content. So even though you're still talking about your book, it's in different context to where people don't tune you out. If you're constantly just book review, or, you know, my book's on sale, people are just like, okay, you know, giveaway, and they're just like, oh, my gosh, please stop.
Now, are you in the chat room at all? Are you in the chat room? I can't, mine isn't.
So far, we don't have any questions, but we do have another caller. So let's see if this one has a question for us. 6648, did you have a question for us?
Hello, ladies.
Hi.
Hello,
Bennett.
How are you, Bennett?
Bennett, how are you?
Very well. Very well. I promise I won't be the guy that's Johnny Commando. I promise I'm not Johnny Commando either.
Oh, my God. That's the first time on over 100 shows I've done. We've never had that. First time.
I don't know who the guy was. It was funny. I enjoyed it immensely. I enjoyed it. I will say something, Marcia. You're totally right about Facebook, and you're totally right. Too many authors are the, I have to like it. I have to like it. They, if you compare something to somebody else, if you say something to somebody else, they start getting upset. If you compare it to somebody else's work, they get upset. If you don't compare it to somebody else's work, they get upset. I wrote an article for Night Owl for last month, which I love dearly, about how Facebook is. I mentioned you in the column, Martin.
No,
I didn't mention you.
I know.
Okay. You know, this woman said that she had to go to the, she couldn't write all day, but she went to the, she was in the bathroom all day and she couldn't write, but she posted it to Facebook on her 1,876 friends. No, Fran, I'm not talking about you, but that's okay. But, you know, how people abuse the idea of Facebook. I mean, I love when somebody says, I'm writing 10K today, and I didn't make my goal. It's like, just tell me when you finished the work. Tell me when the book is out. Tell me when I can review it. Tell me good, bad, or indifferent about the book.
Yeah. So one thing I do like, though, that authors do on Facebook is when they've written a scene that they just, like, oh, my gosh, I sat down, you know, to just do some writing, and I wrote this amazing scene, and they tell you little details about the scene but not the whole scene. Because then I think it helps hook you where you're like, I can't wait till this comes out. This is starting to sound good. I think little teasers like that are good, but I agree. Like, oh, I'm going to try and write the first 5 chapters of my book. Well, I got the first 2 done. Okay.
But I don't care about somebody writing. Okay, somebody writes their book. Somebody finish the book. Don't tell me you're in chapter 2 or you're writing in a sex scene or you're writing a proverbial idea or whatever. Finish it. The book is finished. I just finished my book. Congratulations. It'll be published next month. Congratulations. That's when I need to hear about it.
Facebook, exactly.
A lot of times nowadays people abuse the idea of Facebook when it comes down to, I've written 6 pages today. Congratulations. I really don't need to know 6 pages.
See, but if you say you wrote the 6 pages, like with me, I could have ripped them up later. I don't like them.
Yeah, exactly. But I love when Virginia, when you promote a book, when you promote one of your authors or your book, it's amazing. When somebody else promotes it, it's fine. If somebody says something, you know, fine. Facebook is a great place to have discussions.
You know, the one thing about Virginia is it's really good is like when, you know, when I'm not, you know, big on going into a lot of blogs, you know, as far as asking questions, but for Virginia's book tour, it's really good because it was so interesting. The first time I saw what she wrote in it, I went, oh, my God, she made it sound so good. Because even my question, she put it into, you know, a form where it really sounded great, okay? And she put it in the right places. And, you know, there is a difference in, because some people just put everything out on that you say on the blog, and sometimes if it's 10 questions, I mean, people might not be interested in that, but I that's the one thing I like that Virginia did, is that she made it so interesting in a different way. Because we're all reading these things, and how interesting can everything be 24 hours a day, you know, this blog and that blog and this blog, you know, and so
I try and make the interviews very, where they're, like right now, how we're on the phone talking.
That's exactly how they are
so,
when you write them.
Yeah,
right,
and that's exactly
right.
What I do, and lots of like that. And the other thing, too, is a lot of the other blog hosts that I work with in the World of Ink Tours is, you know, when we send out the questions, because I'll tell you right now, I mean, they're the standard, you know, what is the hardest thing you find about writing? I mean, they're really like what you normally see on what people post on their blogs when they do an interview. But that's just the Q&A we send. When it comes back, you know, each off each
blog
post, including myself.
Yeah.
Yeah, we change it. And if we see where it's only like a one-word answer or a one-sentence answer, we don't even post that question at all.
Right,
because
right.
It's like it's not going to be interesting. Or we tie it into another question, so then it becomes like two questions in one, and it so it looks more conversational for that reason. You're
yeah,
right, because it gets very boring otherwise.
Right, and it does. And you know what's interesting sometimes, though, you know, is that when you get a question and you don't want to answer it, this is not like school. You don't have to answer it. You know, you don't have to,
well,
you know. Just
well,
I was,
a very good editor friend of mine said the question that you don't answer is still an answer, it's just not the one you wanted to hear.
That's true. Well, here's a question for you, Bennett. I'm just curious, because I know you do a lot of book reviews. When someone has...
I do more book criticism than reviews, Virginia.
Okay,
I'm sorry.
Fine. So when you do your criticisms of books, when people pester you to like their book or to get their book to get the review up within X amount of time and you haven't done it yet and they start sending the emails, where is it, does it make you want to also dig your feet in more and just say, I'll get to it when I get to it, or
I had this wonderful writer, he messaged me on a Tuesday and said, can I send you my book? I said, sure, send me a PDF of it. He sent it to me on a Wednesday. On Friday, he emails me back and says, have you done the review yet? I said, no, it's on my list. Yeah. On Monday, he messages again. He says, have you done the review yet? I said, no. I gave it 3 stars and told him why. And he says, well, you don't know anything. Have a good life. I he wanted it so rushed, and that's fine. I will give somebody my opinion. My opinion is my opinion. I've told this to Marcia's heard this enough on her shows. Every person has an opinion, a bottom, whatever you want to call it. It's the same opinion. My opinion is my opinion. It's not your opinion. If you agree with me, that's great. If you don't, that's great too. If I think something is wrong, I will say it's wrong. If I think it's right, something I'll say it's right. My job is to criticize something. My job is also to teach. If I think something sounds like something that I want to hear want to read, I will say it. If I say it from a personal opinion. If I seem like something sounds like Stephen King, if something sounds like Clive Barker, if somebody sounds like they're doing something and it's good, bad, or indifferent, I will give my opinion. I'm not saying somebody recycles it or retreads it or anything else, but I have
you
to give my opinion.
You consider yourself more of a critic. So that's what we talked about, because you actually it makes sense.
Yeah.
So you are a critic.
I am a critic.
Not just
I am an evil, nasty person. Yes. double L with the evil. Lewd and lascivious. Okay. But, no, I'm allowed to... It's my job in the newspapers, in Affaire Decor magazine, in Truckers USA, in anywhere, to give an opinion. Okay, my opinion is being a critic, is criticizing something, is picking it apart and putting it back together. I'm not looking for somebody that will be positive or negative. I'm looking at this is where I stand. I don't care what other people think that I think. My opinion is my opinion. Some people like it, some people don't. I have no problem. If 11 people say it's great, it's wonderful, it's the next best thing to buttered bread, that's great. If 11 people say I hate you, I think you're evil, I despise you, that's great too. I get paid from the, we were talking about somebody getting paid. I get paid from the newspapers who put me in their newspaper.
Right.
I don't get paid from I get paid from magazines because they want my column in their magazine.
Right.
But
right.
I don't get paid from authors. I don't get paid from publishers nor publicists. I get paid from Affaire de Cour magazine. Gives me a nice check. I like the check. It's a beautifully spent check. You know what I'm saying? Syndicate gives me a nice check. And somebody's you're a reviewer and you get paid. Yes, I do get paid, but I don't get paid. It's not payola. I don't get paid from an author. An author will send me their book, and I will tell them what I think. The publisher, if they say, well, let me give you a gift, I'll say, give me a book, that's great. Give me a PDF, that's great, because it's not payment to me, if you know what I'm saying.
Yeah. No, and I totally understand what you're saying, because that's where, you know, you're exactly where we said there's a difference. You have book critics out there and you have book reviewers out there. Book critics are basically sought after by, like you said, newspapers, magazines, even some, main websites will actually
speak. Amazon.com,
right.
Get charged.
Yes, we'll seek people out for your, like that, and pay for you to write for them because they want your opinion in there. However, a lot of book reviewers who are just the average mommy bloggers, the average book review bloggers, most of them don't get paid unless they're associated on a blog that's tied to a major publication of some kind that then pays for the review.
Now, what about Kirkus? Okay, we'll go to that.
Kirkus is like my syndicate. They don't pay the author. They don't pay the publisher. The publisher, they give a book. Say they give me a book from Kirkus. They say, Bennett, do a review. Do about 500 words. I give them 500 words. They give me a nice check. They publish the review. They're not being paid by the publisher. They're not being paid by the author. And then they offer the service, say, to a syndicate market. Say they give it to 1,500 papers that can print it or not print it. It's a play or pay contract.
Yeah.
And then
I know there's also some book review sites out there. So what happens is you can post the book review as a reviewer, and then if someone wants to use it in the publication, they can pay it's kind of like the Kirkus thing, but they, they find what they want type, kind of like how there's like the article little syndication things out there where there's a whole bunch of, articles listed and people can kind of go through it if they want to use it on their blogs or magazine or newspapers or whatever they can.
Well, what upsets me is somebody like Goodreads, and I have nothing against Goodreads personally, but when you have these mommy bloggers, as you said, that they will, a 300-page book, they won't read the 300-page book. They will read up to page 41 and admit they'll read up the page, but they gave it 2 stars because it's easy to dance to. That's not a reviewer. That's not even a critic. That's a person that went to page 41 and gave it 2 stars because that's all they could read or that's all they felt that they could read, which is not a proper way to do it. What annoys me more are these people that they decide that, I gave it 2 stars because, I read up to page 50 or I'm uncomfortable with the book, but they gave me the book, so I give it 2 stars or just because I don't like the subject matter, I gave it 2 stars. That's not a person that I would even review.
There are a lot of dangers out there now with these reviews, and the thing is that I always believe a book has a beginning, middle, and end, like I do with a screenplay. So, to be really fair, and you should read it. And that's the part that I can't say like or on things that I have not looked at or read because I need to know what I'm saying like to. And I think a lot of people aren't.
You've sent me a screenplay, Marcia, and I loved it. But you had a choice between one book or another, and I picked your book of YA poetry, which I thought was better than the screenplay.
Well, they're different.
It's apples and orange. But the thing is, it's still if I'm doing the same author in two or three months period, that's fine. If I'm doing the same author in, say, a two-week period, no, that will not happen. I will avoid that at all costs. Go ahead.
Oh, no, go ahead. Finish your thought.
I was going to say, I love James Patterson, but if it's a choice between doing an Alex Cross book and a Women's Murder Club book or one of his other books, and I had a choice between which of the three, I'd pick one of over the other. I don't know which one I'll pick. I really, you know, I get selective. Because
yeah.
if I have three books, and you know what Patterson is, you know, he does one book after another. I mean, he does 18 books in a year. So, yeah, I will do a Patterson every two or three months. Because I don't want somebody to say, oh, Patterson owns you. Patterson doesn't own me. Even though he's a great author and I read most of his stuff. Will I be honest and say the Patterson book reminds me of when Patterson did London Bridges? I reminisce that it was like reading Sherlock Holmes and Moriarty in the Empty House, which is a Sherlock Holmes wonderful book that Conan Doyle wrote. But I said the similarity was there. And that's where, as a critic, I can say that. If something seems similar, my job is to point it out to the audience. If it seems similar to anybody or anything, I will say it. I use pop references because a lot of people are too much into pop references these days.
Have you ever turned anything down?
I'm sorry?
Have you ever turned anything down? Like, got a because you're
reviewed
like,
it or panned it?
Well, no, like a book comes in like you're saying that makes you feel uncomfortable. Have you ever contacted the publisher, the author, and said, "I'm sorry, I'm just not going to review this book"?
There was a movie once, a DVD I got, because I'm a media critic more than anything else, called Blonde and Blonder with Denise Richards and Pamela Anderson. And I called the production house, and I said, I'll be honest with you, you don't want to see my review. And they said, no, post it anyway. So I posted it on Amazon, and I also posted it on, at that time, I had a column called Ye Olde Trivia Collectible Shop. And I posted it, and I said, and, of course, in the Amazon review, said, here at Amazon, they do not let you have 0 stars. So I give it 1, but realize you can use the DVD as a Frisbee. And the publisher said, you're mean. I said, yes, and I'm evil, too. And that's where I came up with the double L, lewd and lascivious.
I think we could probably say that is you're claiming to be a critic, which you are. And that's what people should realize, that you are not just reviewing it. You're going about it in a different way that a reviewer might, just a plain review.
I'm looking at it as is a good piece of work that I would buy, that I would see. The star system, to me, has been abused for so long. Everybody needs to see a 5-star review.
Yeah.
I give something a 4-star, and to me, I've given things 5-star reviews as well. They just released, E1 Entertainment just released It Takes a Thief. They cleaned the master's recordings of these DVDs. That's about 50 hours of DVD.
Wow.
They cleaned the master recordings that it's so clean and crisp, you could run it today on television. Well, you can anyway.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying. They cleaned the recording so well. They had an interview with Robert Wagner that was done. It was an in-depth interview. They had Glenn Larson, who was the script editor for this, who, of course, later produced Knight Rider and Fall Guy and other shows. But the thing is that the man, it was the cleanest masters I've seen from a 60s, 70s show I've seen in a long time. They must have spent some money and some time putting into that. It's $100, $150 set, and I gave it 5 stars because it is excellent. Yes, it's one of my personal favorites, but the thing is, if they would have gave me crap, I would have told them that gave me crap.
Yeah.
There was a go ahead.
I was going to say, I shock people a lot because, you know, my book just last year won the 2011 Silver Quill Award out here in Utah, and
I know. Congratulations, by the way.
Thank you. I love my picture book that you see in Sugar Paw, but I tell people
it
straight
is
out
so
when
cute.
It's adorable. I get shocked, but I get surprised when people give it 5 stars. I'm like, wow, they must really like it, because honestly, now that I've gone back and looked at it again, I, as a reviewer unattached to my book, I would probably max given it 4 stars.
Yeah, but that's
well,
it's funny.
It's funny because I get a lot more notification now that I review on Amazon. I was out at a bat mitzvah with my cousin's bat mitzvah, and I was in Dave and Buster's, and I was there just spending time with my cousins. And this guy says, "You look familiar. Don't I know you from somewhere?" I said, "I don't think so, sir. I'm not from this area." He says, "You look like the guy that was on Amazon." And I'm like, I am the guy that's on Amazon. And it was in front of my cousins. It was like my 15 minutes have made it to you know, somebody even said, you know, "You look like the guy they saw that ugly picture that I love dearly that we put on one day. I think it was the June 3rd show. You look like the guy from Blog Talk Radio." Yeah, that's me. Boy, you take an ugly picture. But, you know, it's the recognition of that 15 minutes. But, you know, I've had people come up to me at malls, and they'll see me in a Barnes & Noble, or they'll see me in an appearance or whatever, and they'll say, "I disagree with totally what you said." That's fine. I'd rather hear somebody. I hate to see a lemming. You know, some of the people lately on Facebook are lemmings. If you don't say it's the best thing next to buttered bread, you know, they're going to go totally to pieces, or they'll criticize you for being honest.
Well, you know what? It's true, though. You know, that's one of the pitfalls. I mean, you know, if you're honest, then it's, you know, people aren't happy. And if, you know, you don't want to be untrue to yourself to be what you want to say, you know. But I guess it's just, you know, it's a very different market. And so I guess people are, I'm not very sensitive about this because I understand, you know. I mean, I know what I do when people come in my office that want to work with me. I give them scripts of mine. And I do not tell them who they are. I give them mine mixed in with other people, and because I don't want them to know that they're mine. They don't know me at the time because they're new. And if I want them to give me an honest review of what they're thinking of it, you know, and then they're shocked sometimes that they don't really know that they're mine. And when they find out, they're shocked. But I don't want them to say they're good if it's not something that they like. I want to see
well, I've taken my names off of plays I've written because basically everybody goes, "Oh, you're the audio critic or you're that book reviewer or whatever." They don't see the differential that I can write. Like I just wrote a story called Christmas in Hell for a Christian Authors on Tour last year, which was basically my adaptation of the Book of Job. And people did not put Bennett Pomerantz, the critic, to Bennett Pomerantz. This was a day and night to them, and they could not believe it because they didn't see. All they could see was Bennett Pomerantz. Oh, yeah, it's that critic. It's, you know, but they're not looking at anything else, if you know what I'm saying.
I've mentioned that so many times when it comes to books, and, I mean, I'm not knocking on any star out there, but, you know, you have somebody like Billy Crystal, Jamie Lee Curtis, even Madonna, who writes a book, and everybody's, like, all over it. And it doesn't, I mean, I'm sorry, I love early Madonna. I don't like late Madonna music, but I'm a huge fan of you know, the 80s and early 90s of Madonna's music. But when I found out she was writing picture books, I'm like, really? And I read them like, who's letting her write picture books? Are they crazy?
One thing, though, she donated all the money, though, to a cause, I think.
Yeah, but my point is, just because it's a name, like Bennett was saying, does not mean it's good. Or vice versa.
Right. No,
you know,
right.
It can
well,
be
that's
great
in the movie.
And you
right.
Don't know
that's
who they
definitely.
Are.
Right.
Yeah.
So that's I think that's the good thing about now. There's a lot of good writers out there that people aren't reading. So, you know, look around for some of these free books that are on the, you know, Kindle, and you can just put them on your computer and read them because they're good.
We forget to even look for, there's an author I love called Ellery Queen. And so I said to somebody, I said, "You could read Ellery Queen." Somebody says, "Is that a gay book?" I said, "No, it's a mystery novel." But his name is Queen.
Right.
I said, so? "Yes." No. You know that. I know that. But it was like, it's a mystery novel. Well, when did he write it? Oh, about the 30s and 40s? That's an old book.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I'm sorry. I feel my age right now. You know, I said Earl Stanley Garvey. They said, what? I said Perry Mason. Oh, I love Perry Mason.
But they have
it
on now.
Read
it. So it's not. But you know what? They have Perry Mason shows. They're on cable now on Hallmark. They have Perry Mason. They have all these old, you know, older, they have, I don't know.
I've
been watching
Perry Mason's Dragnets.
Yeah, is that out? Is that? But I know Perry Mason is
Dragnet's
out.
Dragnet's on DVD. Yes, Shout Entertainment has done the third volume. Thank God.
Yeah, and Hallmark channel. They have a lot of different older shows, you know. But you know, go ahead.
Oh, go ahead, Marcia Fisher's thought.
No, I don't even know what I was saying.
No, well, but, you know, a lot of people forget these things.
Yeah, I want to go back to something because, you know, Vint, you're talking about the stars and, you know, we've been going on this, but I want to get back to the star rating that you see. You know, Amazon sees the five-star rating. Everybody has their different version of rating. Since you are a critic, you know, in multiple genres out there for review, when you're shopping, because, you know, this is a big thing, you know, you're saying that, you know, you put your opinion because it's your opinion and it's if you would buy it and da-da-da-da-da type stuff. So when you're shopping on Amazon or anywhere else and you're looking at, because everybody has reviews, I mean, you go Walmart, Target, you know, doesn't matter. Every single major company has their own review system as well. Do you look at the review ratings at all or do you just kind of...
I look at what people say more than I look at a number. If somebody says, well, I like it because it's easy to dance to, that doesn't mean anything to me. It's a great project, and you could see the release date of the project won't be for a year from now, and they're already reviewing it.
Yeah.
Red flag, you know. But they have 35 people out of 40, whatever, saying it's the best thing, the buttered bread, and the thing ain't going to be out until February 25th to 12th. I'm sorry. Red flag to me, I'm sorry. That to me is a wrong thing. Any sort of project. I just got the book Rayland from Elmore Leonard, which is based on the short story Fire in the Hole and the TV series Justified and everything else.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I'm reading it, and I'm also listening to the audio, which is word for word verbatim and very excellently done. But it's an amazing adaptation of Elmore Leonard adapting his own character to the TV series Justified and bringing a lot of the characters from Justified into a book form, because he's now very much involved in doing this show Justified as well. He's not just borrowing his stuff. He's getting involved writing a couple of scripts.
That's good.
So Raylan is almost like watching Justified. I mean, there's a difference between TV and between TV and a book. And what amazes me is that it's crossing the line. Rayland as a character before did not look like Timothy Oliphant. The description in the book Rayland, it's almost Timothy Oliphant totally. I don't know if that's life imitating art or art imitating life. Do I say that? Yeah, I would. Would the audience look at me and say, what the heck is he talking about, art imitating life? The most important thing to me is it is imitation of life.
What do you think? The stories come from, a lot of stories from a lot of TV series now, the CSIs. I mean, these were regular stories, a lot of them. And they're just putting them now into scripts. But these things happen, you know, so it is like life. Life is a lot of these stories.
What I would say is I judge everything on what's there. If something sounds like something else, I will say it. That doesn't mean that I'm trying to denote anybody in a negative sense.
Right.
You know,
if it's a bunny and it quacks like a duck, then it's a duck.
I'm sorry. If it quacks like a duck and it sounds like a duck, I'm going to tell somebody it's a duck. But that doesn't mean that I'm trying to down the person or down the author. There was a Spencer novel, Robert Parker Spencer novel, that he did the Magnificent Seven in a book called Hot Shot. And, a revisitation of the Magnificent Seven, done in a Spencer novel. Did I say that? Oh, yeah. Did I judge it? Yeah.
So now we know you're a critic, so I don't know. We've got to be careful now, Virginia.
I'm evil. You guys already knew that.
Yeah, I knew that.
I'm evil. So when the people send me their books and they expect, oh, you should have gave it 5 stars because you're supposed to be nice.
Well,
the gloves are off.
Know.
I'm not.
Well,
I always love somebody that they send me a book, and then they say, you gave it, they sent me a CD, and I tell them what I think, and it's like, you didn't have to be so mean. No, I have to be Bennett. I have to be who I am. And
right.
I mean,
well,
I just did a review of a CD, and I the CD had some great things to it, but it also had a lot of problems with it. And I told them the problems as well as the good things. Does that mean I hate them? No, and it's not personal. So, if Virginia, you sent me a book today, and I read it, and I thought this, that, or the other. It's not I hate Virginia Day. It's I didn't like the book. That doesn't mean I don't like the person.
Right, and I totally get that because Wayne Walker, who's been with me from the beginning with Stories from Magazine, he also does reviews for Homeschool Magazine. He's just like you, you know, when he's reading kids' books, if there's foul language in there, he tells everybody, there's bad language in here, and if it was my kid, I wouldn't let him read it because that's who he is as a dad.
Yeah, yeah. Well,
you know,
that,
people
well.
Get mad at him, and I'm just like, Wayne, stick to your guns because he emailed me.
Well,
to
right.
Me, you want me?
Yeah,
you
but,
know,
you
do
know,
I say this? And I'm like, yes.
But I think I got my
SIG shooters out now.
And my overview of this is my opinion is that I still think people should read books, go to movies, and find out for themselves if they like it. Because I've been to movies that I think are really good, and the critics panned it. So I think that, you know, these are just opinions, which Bennett says I do say all the time, and I do believe that. And, you know, because I want people, my goal is to just let them keep writing, and some may be good, and some things are better than others, and, you know, but they get better, and, you know, you have a different audience. There are different audiences, and people have different opinions, so don't not read a book. Or don't not go to a movie because someone said they didn't like it. Make your own judgment.
Well, as an author, you know, learn from the good, learn from the bad reviews, but don't sit there and worry and lock yourself up in a closet or cry because you only got 20 reviews and another book like
right.
yours has 500 reviews.
Right.
Because,
right.
You know, it boils down to who's willing to post the review and if they're quality reviews to begin with anyways.
Right.
Well, if 11 people love me and 11 people hate me, that's 50-50. If 17 people hate me and 10 people love me, that's great too. I'm not gonna lose sleep over 17 people that hate me. If they hate me for personal reasons and they show it in the review, hey, that's upsetting. But if they're saying, hey.
You can't take things personally in this business because I don't either because I don't take things personally. Because if they're not, if somebody rejects something, let's just say a book or whatever, and they may just not, it might not be the genre that they want to publish or whatever, and you can't be mad at them for that. That's why there's so many different publishing companies and different places to go because you can't really be mad at someone. It's just not what they like. That doesn't mean anything. Just keep going. You know, I mean,
understand that. I don't accuse anybody of being a bad author. I accuse people of not getting the message across correctly. I accuse people of assuming that it sounds similar to somebody, and I will point out it sounds similar. It doesn't mean that I think that person is bad or good or indifferent. That's my opinion. It sounds similar. I don't say what stories or what pieces or what part of the book.
Right. So,
is,
I mean, well,
it would not be if somebody says, well, this story sounds so much like, I'm like, I didn't say that. And I would never, ever in public say, oh, well, I said to Robert P. Parker, who was still alive at the time, that this was the Magnificent Seven. You know what Parker said to me? And I always thought this was funny. Parker says to me, he says, you're right. That was all. That was all he had to say. Because he knew I knew what I was talking about.
Is there another caller? Because I know you have to go.
Yeah,
to
there it. Is. But I want to just bring up something that Bennett just said. The thing is, too, you know, like what you just mentioned, Bennett, is my husband always says this every time we go see a new movie or he reads a book. He's like, you know, there's no original ideas anymore, just original ways to retell it. Which
well,
is true. I mean,
God,
I can't tell you. Well, think
Virginia.
About how many movies, music, no, but books that we read, that when we sit down as writers, that because
loved it so much, just naturally end up some at one point in our lives, we'll end up in one of our own manuscripts. It just happens.
Well, original thought is there, but original thought in retelling the story, even though it may be an original idea or ideas, may sound like to somebody else something else. That doesn't mean that they're wrong or right or indifferent. It's my job to tell them what I think. And people can say I'm wrong. People could say I'm evil. I don't care. Do you want to say I'm evil? I'll take the pay raise.
I think this is an interesting topic that we did discuss today because, you know, there are so many forms of things.
Let's do this again. I'd like to do this for a whole hour next time.
All right. Well, thanks, Bennett, for coming on. All right,
thank you so much, Bennett.
Talk to you soon.
Bye.
All right, let's take our last caller, and then we'll wrap up our show.
Right.
We have caller 4667. Oh, I think they just hung up. Oh, no, wait. It didn't open.
No, no. Hi, ladies. This is Judy Snyder.
Oh, hi. Hi, how are you?
Hi. I'm fine. I have a real quick question. I've been listening to your show, and it actually covers reviews. I have a children's book, and I got it reviewed in a Cat Writers magazine because it's one about kids and cats.
Right.
But how do you get a book, or who do you submit a book to if you want to do it to, let's say, a magazine, Good Housekeeping, or O Magazine, or, you know, Journal? Who do you send it to?
I guess you mean to O?
How do you send it to a magazine like that?
Is that what you're saying, like a
Oprah or a Good Housekeeping, Journal, you know, just one of the magazines you see on the shelf? How do you get them to review your book?
You actually, and I can bring this up because this is what I ran into with Mommy PR, my book, Babysitting Sugar Paw. I wanted to obviously get reviewed in a Mommy magazine. And Mommy PR is a website, but they also have a local magazine that they do that's somewhere in the Midwest. I don't remember what state or off the top of my head. Anyhow, I had to literally call their corporate office, find out who was in charge for submissions. And then you basically cross your fingers and pray that they will, give you the information, and then when you leave a message, they'll call you back. Or if they pass on your information, they'll call you back.
Some of them say you might submit a story, maybe write you're submitting for a review.
Let me just say something.
Judy, is this on a new book, though? Because if it's not within the year, I don't think they want to do it.
Okay, that was the other question. No, actually, it was one. Actually, I said Cat
Writers.
It was
your first book, right?
But I was thinking, you know, submitting other places. But is it too late for that one if I've done it a number of years ago?
Yeah, I would say it can be. Yeah.
Okay.
It can
Thank
be.
You.
Yeah, and for those who are listening too, and for Judy also to answer a question, a lot of the websites, like if you go to Housekeeping, if you go down to their footer, you'll see Contact Us. Usually in there, they'll have a place where you can post general questions. And you can also post in there, and hopefully, again, you'll get a reply. I actually helped Judy with some of her marketing of her book.
You did a great one. So.
It's a very good book, and you know, actually, you should put it out again on our sites because for Mother's Day, you know, it's a really good.
I'm just looking into that, and that's another question I guess writers would want to know is that if you're marketing a book. And let's say for Mother's Day, do you start 3 months in advance, two months in advance?
Now would be good.
You know,
right now. Now I start marketing six months ahead.
Usually, if you can start 6 months before a holiday, you're good.
Yeah. Okay,
Three months is your crucial time. If you're not doing it by then, you're in trouble.
Okay.
And the reason why I kind of knew that information is as back from my retail years as a buyer.
Yeah.
That's exactly how it works. You just have to go through that same process, and it's the same thing for book reviews.
But when it's a book within the first year, it's okay. But after that, you know, because people are very successful with books after the first year. But for reviews.
To a magazine. You're talking about Mother's Day.
For the one based on cats,
that one's a little bit different. But if it's a book like Be Careful,
Mother's
I Love
Day,
You.
No, that's fine. Yeah.
That one you can actually, even if it's a backlist title for you, you can keep bringing it up for each holiday
because
because it's a holiday genre book. Like
right.
My book,
oh, okay.
Trigger
right.
Frost, like, you know, it's been out now for 2 years. So for me to try and go up to, like, nanny sites and stuff would be kind of ridiculous.
Yeah. Okay,
no, but
I see
right,
what,
but now,
I see
but like,
saying,
right,
yeah.
But the Mother's Day, because that's like with Hallmark cards. It's just the same,
yeah.
they you know, the same cards over and over a lot of times. And that
yeah.
that would be fine for you to do.
Yeah, so
well,
if you can tie it into
thing.
A holiday.
If I can put a plug in for you, actually, and I did this last time, but I keep watching. Virginia did one of her online videos, I guess you can, book trailers, and
yeah,
I keep playing it over and get such compliments. So I guess I put a plug in for you, Virginia, that not just my book, but people keep listening and said, you know, saying, "Gosh, I want that done with my book too." So you did a really
well,
nice job
you.
With that.
Well,
you
yeah,
know,
right,
it was
Virginia
really terrific.
A great
actually.
Job. And that's why, like, I'm so glad that Ashley called and all that, because, like, you know, I know a lot of, you know, Virginia doesn't do the night shows with me a lot of, you know, we did years ago, but she doesn't do them now. So, like, she's getting to meet people that I know, and because she's moving on to a different market also. And her,
right.
See, I think that her book tours are so professional and good. I mean, and, you know, it's just, it's a great thing, you know, because she does do it where it's conversational rather than just question to question.
It is. And when you said that again, I guess I've never mentioned that before, but I did that with Virginia. And
yeah.
it was really nice because it was all new to me, for probably for a lot of
yeah.
writers. And
yeah.
She really, of course, Marcia let me know she was so good, but
yeah.
you really, Virginia, walked me through it. And that was really helpful for someone
and
who's not wonderfully computer.
She did one for, I don't know if you saw this, but probably we should put this out, and Virginia, you probably should. And Sale Richards,
I
you
saw
did a,
that
oh,
one.
Yes.
Very
absolutely.
Good.
It is, but that was how many minutes? That's a long one. That was like 6 minutes.
No, but it's
I think.
Wonderful.
Just under 6 minutes, but
yeah,
it's because
yeah,
it's
yeah.
a memoir. It's,
it was
his
yeah.
life story. So yeah,
Fran Lewis,
wonderful, very touching, very touching.
Right,
one.
Thank you.
Fran has reviewed him, and he was on a show that Fran had. I was on, and he's such a nice guy. And his, but the video was absolutely great. I mean,
it
was
is
really,
just,
really
it's
good.
It's just beautiful. But thank you, ladies. I
right,
appreciate
take care.
Any questions,
I keep writing.
And I'm going to go back to listening to you.
All right.
Okay.
Okay,
bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Yeah, all right, well, yeah. we went over our hour. Usually we try and keep an hour, like almost an hour and a half, Marcia.
I know. I thought I was going to be out. And what, you know, but actually, send me, while we're, even though we're talking on the air, send me sales, and we should send, because it's very good. It's
yeah,
really
I will.
Good.
I will. And
you know, normally we don't see, you know, we don't talk. That's why it's a good thing we're talking together, because we'll,
yeah.
you know, meet some of the same people this time.
Exactly. And we do a lot of stuff that I don't think people realize. And so when we talk to each other, it brings it up.
Right.
Just so our listeners know, talking about things that we're working on, I am right now working on a World of Ink Network website. So we'll have not just our blog, but an actual website that will take what I do as V.S. Grenier and what Marcia Cook does
yeah.
and take what's on our individual sites and combine it into one location along with what
right.
we do here at Blog Talk Radio. So it'll make it a lot easier for those of us who listen or looking for services, looking for a good book, you know, would like to hire one of us as a writing coach to kind of help
yes.
hold their hand or have us help them with marketing. You'll be able to find us and see what we offer. So we're hoping to have that up around the 1st of February.
Yeah, because we're
going to
be calling bookstores, because we know already after such a period of time that we know that that's like one of the necessary, that is a necessary evil. We have to do that, and I don't think anybody wants to do that, really. It's very hard to call bookstores, but we want to go to bookstores. Everybody does, you know, and that's a good
yeah.
thing.
And it helps having someone call for you as your rep versus you
yes.
calling yourself. It just has a more professional feel. So, and there's services that we're going to offer, and we're not going to offer them to, you know, get as much money out of you guys. I mean, we're going to do this to where it covers our costs, but, you know, as affordable as it can be, so our costs are covered for you, because we understand also having tight budgets. I mean, Marcia and I talk about that
yes.
a lot as well.
All the time. You know, and sometimes you know, right, because we don't do a lot of things because it is expensive, you know, and, you
it
know,
is.
You don't do a lot of things. I mean, if you have a lot of money, you can spend a lot on PR and get good results. You know, but if you don't, it's very hard. So, you know, you have to be more cautious. That's why we're kind of doing these shows, to try to figure out for ourselves also what's good and what's not. And so I think that
right.
if people get into the habit, they can call us, which was very good they called today, and people
mm-hmm.
can call in, and if they have questions or subjects they want to talk about, this is the time to do it, because we're open, you know, for discussion.
Right, exactly. And our next show will be on February 10th, so make sure you tune in then. We don't have the show up and listed yet, but we will shortly.
Right.
So, and you can always set a reminder so you don't have to try and remember.
Right.
And, of course, we'll always send out tweets and posts.
And you have a show Monday? You have a show Monday?
And then I don't, actually. I have no show Monday next week. I have no shows next week at all. So I get next week off, everybody, so I won't be on. Marcia will be, I'm sure.
Well, right. Yes. I have a show on Tuesday with Jack Remick. He was on Joanne Buchanan's on the Shark Radio, and he is great. He's got such great writing techniques. I mean, it's unbelievable. And he tells you how to do certain things to get the most out of your characters. He's great. And then Friday, I have Nancy Beckerman and Richard Weiner. They're going to be talking about when you lose your spouse, you just have to go on with your life, and it's not going to be a depressing show. That's at 12 o'clock my time, and it's not going to be a depressing show. It's just going to tell you about life and how you have to go on after your spouse dies, or, you know, it's just part of life. So, and both of them will be on Friday, and those are the two shows I'm having, and God knows, you know, sometimes I add one here and there.
Yeah, well, it's not that I'm going to have the whole week off next week. I just won't be on Blog Talk Radio. I will be working on the winter issue of Stories for Children magazine, which will be out the first Monday of February, so you can find that at storiesforchildrenmagazine.org. And I'm also working on new website for Stories for Children magazine. Like I said, the World of Ink Network, my own personal website is being updated as well. So
there's so many busy.
Of,
it's like busy work. We all have to do
changes.
This. So it's like, I want to do this, and I go, I'd rather do something else, you know, because I'd rather be writing. But, you know, you have to do this. This is a part of things, you know, websites
it
and
is.
All these things, which really, you know, it becomes tedious, but we have to do it. All right, so, Virginia, have a great weekend. This was a fun show.
You too.
And it's the end.
All right, and everybody please, you know, listen to Marcia next week and tune into us every week because Marcia and I always have a show here at the World of Ink Network. Thanks for listening. Bye-bye.
Bye.